Let me tell you a bit more of my story, because it'll help you understand where I come from in the area of the spiritual gifts. I wasn't brought up in a Christian family. In fact, I just didn't go to church. I didn't even go to funerals or weddings over much. We weren't that sort of family. So when I was about 18 and I was in college, I noticed a friend, and they had a really different life. And that attracted me. They had a real peace about themselves. And it turned out, surprise, surprise, that they were a Christian. So I started asking some questions, and eventually they invited me to church. Now, my understanding of church was something that you would see on TV normally. Normally a room full of old people speaking in a very old language, in a very old way, with these and those and all of that going on. They sang hymns. Most of them looked incredibly miserable. In fact, most of them looked really, really bored. And to me as a teenager, it wasn't like, yeah, I've got to go to church. That looks a really exciting thing to do. So when my friend said, you need to go to church to find out a bit more about these sort of things. It was a bit of trepidation, but she promised me it would be different. And whoa, was she right. She invited me to a house church, and a very charismatic house church. Now, if those words don't mean a lot to you, house church, basically, it was a movement probably 30 years ago, 40 years ago, where churches stopped meeting in traditional buildings. They met in people's houses, hence the word house church. Or they met in schools. And when we use the term charismatic, that means that they used a lot of spiritual gifts. So my first experience of church, there were people speaking in strange languages, which I later came to know as tongues. There were people praying for healing, and it was happening. And there were people giving prophecies, and people actually seemed to want to be at church, which was a real surprise. And there were actually young people there as well. It was a shock. It didn't meet my view of what church was, but it was how I became a Christian. And so I was quite surprised when I went to other churches, and there wasn't people speaking in tongues in every service, and people weren't being healed all the time, and so things were really different. After about a month and a half, I was invited to a youth meeting. And at that youth meeting, they spoke on the gifts of the Spirit. I can't remember what Bible verse they used. Maybe it's the one we're going to study today in a minute. What I hadn't understood is most people go to these youth meetings in groups. So I listened with interest to the sermon all about gifts, and I'm thinking, at least I understand why they speak in strange languages now, I think. What I wasn't prepared for is at the end of the youth meeting that they all split up into groups for prayer. Now, I'd made a big mistake. I'd gone by myself, number one. So everyone split into their friendship groups, and I'm like, and I remember this feeling really well, the feeling of abject panic and fear as to what's going to happen next, because I'm the only one by myself. Fortunately, someone took pity on this poor panicked figure, which was about to bolt for the door. I almost made it, but they stopped me. And I was told to sit with them, and we would pray together. And as we sat down, fortunately I was the last one to share. And they went round, and the person next door to me, he said, I've got the gift of tongues, I've interpreted, I've healed, I've given prophecies. So the next one must be I'm going to get the gift of teaching. That's what I'm going to be praying for. And I'm thinking, oh no, I don't even know what those things mean really. And I'm up next. But it was almost like he was trying to get a complete collection of cards. You know, like the things when you're a parent and you go to Woolies and they start giving out these sets of animal cards or superhero cards, and there's always one missing. Yeah? And as a parent, you're like, oh no. How many more bags of groceries am I going to have to buy before I get the missing card? Or will I have to attend one of those embarrassing swap meets where all the parents get together and it's like, I'm looking for a tiger. Have you got a tiger? I've got a lion. I'll swap your lion for a tiger if that's okay. You know, those sorts of things. But that's what his reaction was. It's like, I've got this, got this, got this, got this. Next teaching. And then they came to me. I can honestly say I've never felt so scared in all my life. I wanted to run. I wanted the ground to open up and swallow me whole. So they asked me what gift I wanted. Now, I'd only been reading the Bible for about 2 weeks. I had nothing. But I had worked out that Jesus was a servant. So I said, I want to be a servant like Jesus. And they all looked at me, shaking their heads, and they, nah. Nah. Gift of tongues for you, brother. That's what you're getting. That's why you're here. So they prayed. They prayed earnestly. They tried really, really hard. It wasn't happening. So I left that meeting a very confused young Christian. First chance for a gift. This group had said tongues was the one I needed, and I hadn't got it. I'd heard it, I'd seen other people do it, but it hadn't happened. And I left as a young Christian thinking, was I a Christian? Really? And if I was, why didn't I get a gift? So that's where I'm coming from in this journey. I went on to stay in that house church for a long period of time, probably 2 or 3 years through my university life. I ended up speaking in tongues. But that moment and that time, as I was introduced to spiritual gifts, it didn't go particularly well for me. So I come to you to speak about spiritual gifts, believing in them. I believe God gifts his people, but also recognizing that when people talk about gifts sometimes, it can be really quite worrying. It can be quite stressful, and it can open up a whole lot of questions. So hopefully, as we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12 today, we'll be able to answer some of those questions for you, put your mind at rest, and help you start on that journey of discovering what your spiritual gifts are or encouraging you in their use. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I don't want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. If I think back to my first experience of church and these supernatural gifts happening, it was quite difficult. I've been brought up in a non-Christian home, as I've already said. And my schooling was very traditional. So when people started talking about the spiritual, I tended to have a normal Western response to those sorts of things. I've been educated, well, that's what they called it anyway, I've been educated in logic and a very scientific world. So when the spiritual element started coming into my life, it was challenging. What did it mean? Was it real? I think Paul makes it very, very clear here, and all throughout the New Testament, we are living in a spiritual world, and as Western Christians, brought up in a scientific and logical world, we've got to accept that and learn from it and open our ears and our eyes to that reality. There are some, and I think we need to tackle this if we're going to be honest and open about it, there are Christians who don't believe that spiritual gifts are for now. They call themselves cessationists. Doesn't really matter why, that's what they call themselves. They believe that the gifts were only for a short period of time. So if you like, cessationists are over here. Very, very charismatic people are over here. And most of us are somewhere in the middle. But cessationists will actually say that there are no spiritual gifts for now. God just gave the gifts until the New Testament was written. There's a problem with that, in the fact that they believe only the apostles really had the gifts, or the apostolic age, and the New Testament time didn't come into being until a period later. So there's a problem with the argument. But the biggest issue for me is what Paul writes here. I'll repeat again verse 3. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. If a cessationist is correct and the spiritual gifts are finished, what does that say about brothers and sisters who exhibit those gifts? The very extreme cessationist would say, and we're almost going off the side of the platform here, they're that extreme, that those who have the spiritual gifts are somehow mentally unwell or even demon-possessed. Paul here shows how that can't be right. If those using those spiritual gifts are saying Jesus is Lord, then they must be using the spiritual gifts and they must be coming from God. So they find themselves in a bit of a corner. Saying that, I have brothers and sisters in Christ who are cessationists. I wish they weren't. But they have that view and they are my brothers and my sisters in Christ. We've got to be careful when we use language that we don't throw our brothers and sisters in Christ out of our family just because of a belief like that. It isn't the core of our faith. Our core of our faith is that Christ is God, Jesus is God, He died on a cross for our sin, was raised to life again in glory. That's the core of our faith. I wish my brothers who were cessationists didn't hold that view. But I respect, I understand, and I talk. Of course, there are extremists on the other side, the hyper-charismatic. The ones, if you like, I met at that youth meeting who will be equally wrong when they say to be a Christian that you must speak in tongues. Paul goes on to say in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, reading from verse 4. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gift of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. I think it's clear. Paul is not expecting everyone in the Corinthian church to be speaking in tongues. He is not expecting everyone in the church to be prophets. He is not expecting everyone in the church to have the gift of miracles. He's not expecting everyone in the church to have the gift of teaching. The Spirit chooses the gifts that he will give to his people for service to the church. So, I can't agree with my brothers and sisters who believe that everyone who is a Christian must speak in tongues. And I say that as someone who has spoken in tongues and has interpreted tongues. I believe in the gift, but it doesn't mean that everyone should have it and use it. Nor can I say is that this gift is exhaustive. If we look elsewhere in Scripture, there are other gifts lifted. I prepared a couple of slides trying to show the whole group of them. So just looking, we got prophecy, serving, teaching, exhortation, giving leadership, mercy, words of wisdom, knowledge, faith, gifts of healing, miracles, prophecy, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. On the next slide, we go on to look at some of the offices of the church which needs particular gifting: apostles, prophets, teachers. Then there's miracles, administration, helps. It goes on and on. And most commentators would agree that when they list, when Paul and Peter and others of the writers of our letters are talking about gifts, that list is not exhaustive. They were using examples of gifts which were common in that church. So there might well have been other gifts. And if you do some research, depending on who you listen to, it's very, very difficult to find a list which everyone agrees with. Everyone seems to find an extra one or a different one. I think at this stage it would be really, really useful just to briefly talk about the difference between abilities and gifts, because I think it causes some confusion. I found the following on the internet. I hope it helps a little. Firstly, the writer argues a talent is a result of genetic and or training. So it's something natural to us. While a spiritual gift is the result of the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, yeah, that's self-explanatory really. Two, a talent can be possessed by anyone, Christian or non-Christian, while spiritual gifts can only be possessed by Christians. Three, while both talents and spiritual gifts should be used for God's glory and to minister to others, spiritual gifts are focused on these tasks, while talents can be used entirely for non-spiritual purposes. I'm not sure how much that helped me, but I offer it as it might be a help. And as I was thinking about it, I remember this story, and maybe this will help you a little bit more. As I said, I became a Christian while I was at college. I was about 18 years old. And when I became a Christian, I was an enthusiast, should we say. I was telling everyone about Jesus. You sat next door to me in the bus, you got to hear about Jesus. You were walking in the same direction as me down the street, I was telling you about Jesus. I was probably a bit of a pain in the neck, to be honest, and I'm not sure how much good I actually did, but I was definitely an enthusiast. There was a lad on one of the courses I was taking who was a bit odd. And of course, I was telling him about Jesus. It turned out that this guy was involved in a satanic cult. So I found myself over coffee one day talking to him about Jesus, and he decided that the best way to work out whether his God was strongest or my God was strongest is for us to have a duel. I mean it. It was, you can choose your weapon, Mark, because I'm challenging you. We can either use fists, knives, or we'll see if we can get a gun. I'm like, oh my goodness me. I'm out of my depth. But I'm not just even a little out of my depth. It's 20 fathoms down and there's white sharks circling me. That's how I felt. What do you say? I believe Christ is king. I was a new Christian. I'd only just started reading my... I had nothing. And then I heard myself say, you know, the devil tempted Jesus before his ministry started. And when he tempted Jesus, Jesus had a reply for him. He said, do not put the Lord your God to the test. This guy jumped up like a scolded cat and ran from the cafe. I'm like, what did I say? Where did that come from? That was a gift of God. There is no way that physically, naturally, I could have known those words or understood what those words meant. 30 years on, going through Bible college for 3 years, I ought to know where those words come from, and I know those words. So, when I was a young Christian, God miraculously spoke through me. That was his gifting for that time, through me, to help me. Now, if I use the same words, that wouldn't be a gifting from God. That would be my own ability. I have learnt that knowledge and then I can now use it. I hope that helps a little bit to distinguish between the talent and the gifting. Gifting is something that you wouldn't normally know. And both are used in the service of God. Talents can be used in the service of God as well as gifting. Now, for some of you, I know as we've been doing the devotional, it has been a comment, will think I haven't got a gift. I hope that the list that I've given is expansive enough that it helps you to find somewhere where you might be gifted. But all of you are. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior, he has gifted you in some way for the church. Now, you might have difficulty knowing what that gift is. Can I suggest you talk to an older friend, someone who's a bit more mature in the Lord? I'm sure they'll be able to point out to you what that gifting might be. Or if you're really stuck, you can do online questionnaires, which might help you. But be warned, I would do a couple so that you can get a whole view of what that might be. I found this cartoon when I was looking through. I found it quite funny. It's Paul writing to Timothy. Obviously, Paul never did this, but I think the idea of Paul sending Timothy a separate letter covering a spiritual gifts inventory quiz for his church is quite amusing. It's the way some churches do it, but I honestly think if you just ask people who know you, they'll see how God uses you. They will see how God works through you. Moving on in chapter 12, verse 27. Now, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, helping, administration, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? do all interpret, but earnestly desire the higher gifts. I don't know what your individual gifts are, but it doesn't mean when you've been given a gift as you become a Christian that that's where it ends. God asks you to earnestly look for and develop and pray for those higher gifts, to develop yourself spiritually. And to use those gifts is vitally important. Gifts are like muscles. If you don't use them properly, they get weaker. The more you use a gift, the stronger it will be, and the greater your use of it, the more apt you will be, the more confident you will be. Dr. Michael Youssef made this statement on day one of our devotional. Ironically, those who refuse to use their gifts suffer the greatest loss, because the use of gifts brings fulfillment, spiritual maturity, and unexpected blessings. Everyone in this room is gifted by God, who calls themselves a Christian and is a follower of Christ. They're not there for Mark Quick to look special or bigger or better than anyone else. They're not there just for a single ministry. They are there to build up the body of Christ, to build up each other, so that this church, Kruger Parade, can serve its community, so Kruger Parade can make Christ known. They are not there to individually build up someone to make them look better. And that's probably where some of the gifts have come into disrepute, because people have misused them. They are there in the service of our brothers and sisters in Christ. They are there to make Christ known. We in this room are the body of Christ. In this room we have all sorts of gifts. Everything that is needed for this part of God's church to flourish and fulfill its mission. So when I look back 30 years to that first experience of someone praying for me for the gift of tongues, and of course there's a lot I learned on that day, and I've continued to learn. Probably one lesson I've learned is never to go to a youth meeting by yourself. Take at least one friend and make sure they stay close by you so you can panic together. The lad who shared before me was right in looking for higher gifts. He saw the hierarchy and was praying through. But, in a strange way, when I asked for the gift of servanthood, I think I, by accident, by God speaking through me, I don't know, ran into a truth. And an important truth as we study the spiritual gifts that we must remember. I think in my bumbling way, in my confusion, or maybe God used me, I've learned that spiritual gifts are used with a servant attitude. Something that maybe some in that room had missed. The purpose of spiritual gifts is not to make ourselves feel great or good, but rather are used in the service, with a servant heart, in the service of the church. So as we carry on studying the spiritual gifts in the next few weeks, please remember that. It isn't about building yourself up. It's about looking after the community of God and seeing God's church flourish throughout the world. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your gifts to us. You're a good, good God, and you give so generously to your people. Father, firstly, I pray for those who sit here this morning and feel that they aren't gifted by you. Father, I would pray in your mercy that you would help them to see how you have gifted them. Encourage them. Show them your ways. Show them what you would have them do. Father, for those who know our gifts, Father, help us to use them. Help us to use them with a right heart in service of you. Give us servant hearts that we might not seek to use the gifts for our own glory, but rather to glorify you and to build up the church. And Father, for those who are maybe more mature in the faith, who recognize our gifts, help us to have a right heart as we seek the more desirable gifts, as Paul puts it. Help us to hear you. Help us to seek the gifts you would have us have. Father, we want to use our gifts to see more and more people come to know about Jesus, to build up the church. Help us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. As always, if you have, if something I've said has triggered a concern or you want prayer, please come to the front. One of the pastors or an elder or someone will be here to pray with you. It is something that maybe we in the West don't talk enough about, the spiritual side of things. But God's good. He's gentle and he's kind, and he'll take us gently by the hand as we move forward. So please come forward if you want some prayer.